Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in today to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I'm here with Character Month for 2020. Today, we have the Member of the Month interview, and I'm very excited to speak with our guest, Oliver Hoyas. How you doing, Oliver?
Hey, Jordan, I'm doing great. Thank you. So excited to be here and can't wait to share with you all that I have.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you bringing the energy. Can we start with your background? Just a little bit about yourself and what led you to Lifebook.
Yes, sure. So my background, I basically started very early with personal development. I was 17. I was very lost. Didn't know where, what's my direction, what I want. And I just knew I didn't like the conventional way of school and, you know, getting a job and work and get your paycheck every month and then get a girlfriend and kids. And
right.
Yeah. I just knew I don't want to live this life. There must be more to it. And I was really keen with 17, as I said, when I started with personal development, I was really keen to find out what's my path and how can I realize my dreams, basically.
That's pretty young to be thinking such profound thoughts like that.
Yes, I was. I grew up in a, now it's the, I don't have the English word. It's Heim school. So it's a place where you go there in school and you also live there.
Oh, interesting. Like a boarding school. Yeah, I think we call them boarding schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, it probably had to do with that because I grew up differently. I had not an easy childhood. My mom couldn't really take care of us. She was alone. My father was not really here. And my mom had some problems. And so it was not easy. So we went there in the border school.
You grew up fast.
Yes, basically. I also needed to take care of my brother because my mother couldn't take care of us. Mm-hmm. She did the best she could, but she couldn't really give us what we needed. So also our self-esteem, of course, was really low. But she tried her best. And I don't judge her at all. I love her dearly and as well my father. But yeah, this just brought me to grow up very fast. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So yeah. when did this eventually, you started your personal development path at 17. That's already pretty extraordinary. When did it eventually lead you to Lifebook?
So after 17, it took a while. I watched a lot of videos and I discovered a coach with, I think I was 20. She was a meditation coach. And that was where I really went up. So where I really started to implement what I learned.
Nice.
And just recently, I came to Lifebook. I found my life was pretty good, especially spiritual, because I had this meditation coach. She's also very, very grounded. Her name is Mahima. She's very grounded. She's very on point. And yeah, so I actually felt like my life is very good. I started to be interested more in how to make money. But when I saw the video from John, I was really inspired the way he talked. And I'm a rebel, I would say. So I really like to go my own way. And
nice.
Yeah, I don't like to follow other people's path. And I started to doubt myself a little bit. Am I still on the right path or do I follow too much other people? So when I saw the video from John, I just knew it just felt so good what he talked about, writing this life book with your answers, with your path, with your vision. It was like super, for me, it was on one point. I think I was thinking about it 2 days and then it was clear. I told my girlfriend, love, I need to do that. It just feels so good. I really want to do that.
Oh, it's incredible, man. Well, your path kind of sounds similar, you know, growing up, dad's gone a lot of the time, taking care of your siblings. You're an artist, starting personal development young. There's actually a lot of similarities there. But when you did go through the Lifebook program, what was your biggest takeaway, either in the category of character or just really anywhere in the program?
So first of all, I just was on the live call with John and Missy, and we talked a bit about that. And I think one of my biggest breakthroughs is the structure. You know, a very clear defined plan and clear defined structure around my day that made me feel proud in the end of the day and also gave me a direction. So I got this fire in the morning. I woke up and I just knew I'm on the right path. I'm doing the things right now that lead me to the life we want to live. And that was for me so inspiring. So I would say really the biggest breakthrough that I got from Lifebook is the structure, the system, because it's just, it's really a mind-blowing system. It's amazing. You really see that Sean and Missy, that we're thinking deeply about that.
Yeah, the structure is key because there's just so much to life. Mm-hmm. There's so much to modern life. It's absolutely insane to think that you could hold it all in your head.
Yeah.
Is that takes some sort of super genius. You got to write it down. You got to organize it. You got to get a little help, I feel.
Exactly.
So yeah, I can definitely identify with that. Mm-hmm. Before you went through Lifebook, you know, you're saying that you're deep into personal development, but that doesn't necessarily mean you were thinking a lot about your character. So many personal development programs revolve around, you know, intellectual life, health and fitness, emotional life, maybe some spirituality, maybe some quality of life. Very rarely do they consider your character, the type of person you want to be, the type of integrity you want to have. What did your character category look like before Lifebook and then after Lifebook?
That's a very good point. So that's also something I realized after the training I did, which was really focused on spirituality. So basically who you are beyond your character, your name and your body, which it was really good in. So I could meditate. I did meditation every day, but I struggled still with some things in life that required strong character. So before I started Lifebook, I would say my life was pretty good. I was on a good way, but there was, I can give a good example. I was distracted with Facebook very often. Uh-huh. So I would wake up, go to work. I would wake up, do my morning routine. Then I would start working. And then every 5-10 minutes, I would take my phone, check Facebook, check Instagram. And in the end of the day, I feel like I didn't accomplish anything. I felt kind of frustrated. I felt bad because I felt really I didn't do anything. And that happened after Lifebook, that I could take hold of this habit and really basically destroy it. And now with the 12 sacred choices, I could put another habit in that basically puts my focus on the good habit, which is now I'm focusing. So when I work, knowing every day, actually, I start with social media at 2:00, not before.
Nice. You got happy hour and then social media begins. I like that.
Exactly. So probably in the future, we'll put it a bit later, but this was for me a great start because I really could use this whole time just for my work or for whatever I was doing or being with people, you know, being present with others and not being distracted with social media because it's very, very toxic, actually.
Yeah, a lot of the times it really can be. And waking up to that, not a great way to prime your brain. And it's mm-hmm. amazing how you don't think it'll make much of a difference. I'll just check my status once or whatever. But it really primes your brain in a certain way. It tilts your brain in a certain direction. And I think if you instead start with, you know, we all know what a good morning routine looks like, right? Maybe a gratitude practice, some exercise, a green smoothie, and then you get to work, you're going to have a whole different day, my friend. It's going to be a whole different person. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I absolutely get that. I would love for you to talk about your work as an artist, because you are an artist, as I mentioned. And, you know, I think that artistic expression is incredible for character, first of all. And then I think it also takes a lot of character to be an artist, especially a starving artist, which most artists are starving artists. So I can totally relate to the relationship between creating art, expressing one's own character, and then having the character to continue to create art kind of professionally when it might be super, super challenging, you know?
Yes, so
yeah.
I find the starving artist is kind of a myth. And it happens often that when you, an artist, so I'm an artist, right? Just for my character, I didn't choose really to be an artist. I choose to now create art and put it out and sell it, or I can choose to not do that. But my core is creative. And I discovered that also very early that my genius is creativity and expressing through creativity, actually. But so for me, it didn't take a lot of character to be creative because for me, that was just natural.
I think that's a good point. Yeah. So yeah. Some people are born, they're just like, it's bred into them, man. They're going to create. If you put them alone in a room with cardboard and a charcoal stick, they'll still create.
Exactly. So that's me. I'm creating wherever I am. Even before I started painting, I always created. Whatever I did was very creative. And I did dancing, beatboxing, singing, playing guitar, photography. And now I'm really interested into art and also creating programs. So those are all things that are for me very natural. But for me, it was difficult to actually concentrate, to be focused. Discipline was kind of something that I was good in certain areas like health and fitness. I had a time where I was super disciplined. I trained like 2 years as super, the food was always on point. Not always, I mean, but most of the time. So that I could see in 2 years, I could see a good result, built some muscles, was really in great shape. But then in other areas, it was really difficult, like work, for example. Mm. So I really learned to be disciplined. I learned to focus and to concentrate. And I think that's for artists super valuable. Because if you're an artist and you're just always in this creative energy, which is kind of chaotic, you lose yourself. And also to make money, you need to go in a different state. You're alert. You listen to other people. You are focused, concentrated. And you also need to be disciplined and do things that are uncomfortable. So you need to take the phone and call people or go out and meet people. And what I believe also for many artists, it's a bit, people are always something a bit uncomfortable. So for me, I was super, super, super shy. And also now during the years, I really could open myself up. And also now I enjoy to be with people and to talk. But that took some time. It was not natural for me, like being creative, for example.
Absolutely. I thought mm-hmm. that, you know, I was doing my kind of search for the most important thing in life, distilling down mm-hmm. what the most important thing is. And discipline was one of the first things that I really, really was considering. After much distilling, I've talked about on the show how I kind of landed on self-love, because that's where it all begins. But man, you see people with discipline and they just have something else going on. I'm so envious of those figures who have that high level of discipline, right? Mm. Those are the superheroes, man. Those are the people we look up to and emulate. So I feel the need for discipline in all walks of life, like you said, not just the obvious areas. Mm. What other strategies do you have that you could share for character for the Lifebook members? Any sort of interesting principles or something from your Lifebook that you'd like to share?
So yes, my strategy is very, very simple for building discipline. Again, because I believe really this is the one of the most important characteristics that you can build. Mm-hmm. And character is ultimately what the values and characteristics that you build, right? So discipline, if you build discipline and it becomes normal for you, you can create a lot of amazing things like financial success, great relationships, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So my strategy is very simple. I started with running every morning and I realized discipline just works if you do it every time, that's the scary part for many people. Because it's like when you think about doing something, oh, but I'm not so disciplined because I will leave one day out probably. So some people, they don't even try. But I say to build the muscle of discipline, you need to do something every day and not leave any day out. And we are all humans. So once, twice, we will leave it out. But to really put the mindset in of never, never missing any day of whatever it is that you're doing. So for me, it's now running every morning.
Love it.
And it's not a long run because everybody's different. So if you say, if you never ran and you say now you will run, I don't know, you have miles in America and we have kilometers. Let's say in hours, let's say you set the goal to run every morning 1 hour and you never ran before. So you probably will fail and it doesn't make any sense. It's actually stupid. So you need to do something that you know you can do,
right,
but that stretches
goal.
You at the same time.
Ah, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, I mean, I don't really like running and it does. My fitness goal is to build muscles. So running doesn't really build muscles, but that's the point.
Isn't that kind of the point? Because that's when you feel so good as you did the thing that you really don't want to do. And
exactly.
Yeah. Wouldn't you also say it's incredibly contagious? And this is something that I understand they've actually done some psychological research on. But if you start your day, for instance, by doing something you don't want to do, you break challenges later on in the day more easily. You can
exactly.
muster yourself to do things you don't want to do again later in the day. Your brain is already wired in that. It's primed for that, like I said before.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I can tell you, I'm an artist, and at the same time, I also work it's a startup company, but it's also in the personal growth area. So it's the Mahima mindset.
Mahima mindset.
Exactly. So the coach that I met, it's now around 4 years ago. She started to build her business and she grew the business very fast. And 2 years ago, I had the chance to help them out. And now I'm here and I'm learning and growing every time because I'm really, really not just reading stuff, but I'm really with great people together and I do great stuff. It's a great thing. And I'm really happy and grateful that I have this opportunity, but it was not always easy. So we go all over the world, we travel and we make events. So it's similar like Mind Valley, like, you know, those seminars and mm-hmm. and workshops. And we have 3 days event with 150, 200, sometimes 250 people. And it's very challenging. It was not easy. And on one point, I really was thinking about quitting because I couldn't take it anymore. It was so much going on. I had less free time. I was feeling physically and emotionally not so strong. And that was before Lifebook. So now after Lifebook, we went on a tour again. So we were traveling and doing those events. And I really was disciplined. Just small things like this running in the morning made me feel strong and ready for the day. So after the tour, I felt stronger than ever. I felt like I can do another tour and another tour and another tour. Mm-hmm. And this is really the gift of doing something small every day that's uncomfortable, but that makes you feel strong. So this was one of the things that really helped me to go through that stronger, more powerful. And of course, also Lifebook helped me because Lifebook made it clear to me what I actually need to do now every day to feel that way and to be the person I want to be.
Exactly. I love that. Mm. Speaking of your Lifebook, what do you find to be your most effective supporting category for character?
That's a very good question. I was thinking about that.
I know those are hard, right? Those are always loaded because everything's always hinged upon each other. But if you had to pick one, let's say.
Yeah, so I would pick one, probably it's, I would also say life vision, but John and Mind Valley are considering that this will not be a category. So I would say that emotional life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I also can tell you why.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, when I think back, I didn't really heal my emotions because we get a lot of pain from our past. And this unresolved pain will show up in our daily life and makes things harder for us. In relationships, we are more triggered. And when we want to accomplish things, like I wanted to have a great body and build a lot of muscles. And I was actually, I did very well in 2 years, looking back. But I couldn't see that. And when I really think back how my day was, I struggled a lot to eat healthy and to be disciplined because my emotions came up very, very often. Mm. So today I'm more rational because I healed a lot of my emotions through the work that I did. So I can make actually more rational decisions. So I know that if I have a goal, I know what I need to do. But often the emotions come in the way and you feel sad or you feel tired or you feel angry. And then you put that aside and you go back to your old habits. So, and to build a great character, you need to be disciplined and you need to build certain habits that install a new character in you, like discipline. If you're disciplined every day, you will be a different person in a year, in 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And I think that emotional side is so important. Like you said, it's going to create challenges for when you're trying to accomplish things and when you're trying to push forward your character. But then I think also, even when you do manage to do the things and go through the motions and build your character, if the underlying emotional stability isn't there, you're kind of just walking around. And while you've checked all the boxes for integrity or whatever it is, there's a deep unsatisfaction or a deep hole or a deep unfulfillment. You know what I mean?
So true, yeah.
Like so many people have it together on paper, mm-hmm. but their emotional body is still scarred and, you know, kind of hemorrhaging, if you will.
Exactly. That's also how I felt after I was training for 2 years. I was super disciplined. But after 2 years, I was still unfulfilled because I didn't heal. I didn't have this emotional foundation. I was kind of ignoring that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm
that
totally
makes perfect
agree
sense.
With you.
And like you said, was the key to that some of the dealing with some of the trauma from your past, maybe forgiving some of the people? I mean, like you said, talking about your past with your parents and how you still hold love with them. It sounds like you've done a lot of work in that field and in the trauma side. Is that what did that healing?
Yes. So I worked a lot with my like basically body work and movement work.
Oh,
so
that's great.
So because I realized I was reading a lot, but I couldn't heal, or watching videos, I couldn't heal through with that my wounds. I needed to do something different. And also meditation helped me a lot to stay centered and grounded.
But it wasn't active enough?
No, it wasn't, because
that's
I felt like it, you know, the emotions are also trapped in your body.
Totally.
And sometimes you need to move and scream and shout and really be able to let go of all of the shit, basically.
Oh, I love that.
But who does that? Because in our daily life, we never do something like that.
That's exactly right. I mean, emotion, just take out the E and there's emotion right there. It's about moving it through.
Exactly.
So I love that advice. And you need to do that sometimes in order to let your character fully express itself or fully appreciate it for what it is, for that matter.
Exactly. Because sometimes you have like your emotions can be like a cloud.
Yes.
And you are trapped in an emotion that you don't even see. And then you walk through your life and you're triggered by certain things. So you interpret things wrong.
Yes.
Or, you know, you see like you see failures where actually there is opportunity or whatever it is. So it's really important to, go into your body and scream and let go. And there are many, many great teachers that actually teach it. Like Osho, with his active meditation, he also realized that. And Mahima, my coach, with her, I did a lot of work because I started working with her and went through all the programs and events. And since 4 years since I met her, I was almost on every event. And on every event, we really went deep into kind of active meditation or movement therapy, where you really go in your body and you let go of this emotional shit that you accumulated through the years. So this really helped me.
Love it, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Identify with that 100%. This was a lovely conversation, Oliver. Before we wrap it up, though, do you have any parting advice for life bookers who maybe they're struggling to improve their character category, or maybe they just want to kind of take it to the next level this year? What advice do you have to help life bookers boost their character?
That's a very, very great question.
A little tough.
I would say it really depends also on who you are and what are your goals. But I would say something that everybody can do to improve their character is really discipline. So discipline yourself for something, you know, like also like John said, once we need to make this list with the things we can automate, delegate and eliminate, I think those three. And look at this list, if you did this list, and then see what you can remove. For example, for me, it was like social media. And for this, I needed discipline because it was not easy. I was addicted to it. And there are other things. Maybe you drink alcohol, but you know it's not good for you. And discipline yourself just to stop doing something and remove it with a better habit.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like starting to work out 5 minutes a day or whatever it is. Or the running like me. I think running is really a great thing because, you know, you move your body. Nobody really likes to run. So it's for most people a bit uncomfortable, but just to do this act where you don't feel like doing something, but you do it anyway, that makes you really strong. Because you see, you know, your mind and your emotions, they will always be here. And when you want to achieve certain things and you didn't train this discipline, the mind and your emotion will come in the way.
Yes.
And like tell you stuff like, but why should I do that? That doesn't make sense. Come, let's do it tomorrow or whatever. And that's a mindset. And if you have this and you don't break this, you will struggle more to achieve your goals. But a small practice where you overcome this voice and you just do it no matter where you are. So I was traveling wherever I was, where I was running, wherever I was. I didn't have any excuses. So when it was cold, when it was raining, snowing, we were traveling, I was tired, whatever it was, I was going for this run in the morning, because that's discipline. Discipline is doing something that you don't feel like. Mm-hmm. So you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway. So I think a small thing, this needs to be something big, but like this run that I do, it's around 10 minutes a day in the morning. Something like this could boost your character totally, 100%. In a totally new direction.
100%. Yes. I cannot agree with you more, my friend. And I will say another great option, you guys may want to consider adding this to your list. You've heard me talk about it before. Taking that cold shower in the morning.
Oh, yes.
It is not what you want to do. And if you can do it, like you said, Oliver, I think that there's great satisfaction in breaking that voice. I love how you use the word breaking.
Yes.
And maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe everybody's life vision doesn't have the same like kind of conquering mentality. But if you've done it before and you have broken that voice and then you've gone on to do something great later in the day and you felt how your body feels after that, it's quite incredible, man. I do enjoy, breaking and tamping down that, let's be honest, kind of weak voice, weak genetic voice, convincing you not to do the exercise, convincing you not to take the cold shower. So yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. I love that.
Exactly. We all have this weak voice and we need to overcome this voice, because it will come back. When I would stop running in the morning, this voice will come back. So that's why I will never stop running.
I love it, man. Oliver, this is fantastic.
Cold shower, by the way. I also love cold showers. I do it now since, I don't know, half a year or something, every morning. I love it as well.
Nice. Oh, I love to hear that. Yeah, I try to spread that wherever I go. I'm a cold shower evangelist. So
yeah, I love it.
So yeah, all you Lifebook members, work in your 12 sacred choices, work in your character category, continue to work in your Lifebook. It does pay off. And like Oliver said, you know, get that discipline going. Break that voice, and please feel free to share all your stories with us. I love seeing them in the Facebook group. Oliver, man, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with me and with the audience.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to share all of that.
Where can people find more of you, though?
I'm not really out there as a coach or anything like that, but you can find me on oliverhoyas.com. So my first name and last name. There I have my website with my artworks, and you can find me on Facebook as well, Oliver Jan Daniel Hoyas, and we can have a chat and we can discover more. Yes, that's where you can find me.
Absolutely love it. All right, all you Lifebookers, I hope you're doing incredible things in your lives, in your Lifebooks. We look forward to bringing you more powerful content as the year goes on. Expect some great stuff coming your way. This is Oliver Hoyas and Jordan River signing off. Wishing you an incredible day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Podcast.